You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN.
Outside of Cedar Rapids, with you for the next hour. Big hour ahead. We are going to visit with Mark Ironside, previewing the Big Ten Wrestling Tournament. He'll be with us in about 20 minutes. And a lot to talk about with Mark. Plenty of action tonight in college hoops. It's Iowa, Michigan State. Night times two. Iowa women playing in the Big Ten tournament about 8 o'clock tonight. The Iowa men, second to last regular season game against Michigan State at home around 7 o'clock. Right now, first few minutes we want to spend with Scott Unesh, fresh off the microphone, calling a big game for Mount Vernon. Scott.
Provide quality healthcare. As big as they get, right? With going to the state championship, winning the semifinal, winning by one, 35-34. Hesterville hit a three-pointer, an uncontested three-pointer right at the end to make the margin one. But they don't care if it's one or 111. Mount Vernon, they'll take it. Offensive show, Monday, and then a defensive show today. Trying to shut down ELC, who really put it in the deep freeze. This was like an OG game, Mark. This is like one that we remember going back to the 60s and 70s, just slowing it down. Free shot clock, right?
It was a Union Witten and Everly back in the 60s, that's for sure. But nevertheless, state championship berth for Mount Vernon. And they're going to get Williamsburg or Waller, which is, if not underway, it'll be underway shortly.
That is correct. We're about 2:15 to go until they get the lineups going. So, it's going to be an all-Eastern Iowa 3A final, that's for sure, tomorrow night. Yes, and it might be a rematch between Mount Vernon and Williamsburg from the WAMAC. So, we just had a rematch. Esterville and Mount Vernon played back in late November at Rivalry Saturday. So, Mount Vernon won both of those games this year, one by 10 and one by one. And they will stay one more night down here in the capital city and try to take home another gold trophy after the volleyball trophy in the fall.
Later on, you're going to have the call on Xavier Norwalk on CRM Live Sports. And a terrific semifinal matchup. Xavier coming off that defeat of number one seeded Helin. What are they going to face in Norwalk?
Yeah, they're going to face a very good team. I mean, Norwalk out of the Little Hawkeye, of course, as everyone knows, a suburb of Des Moines. And they've got the Zimmerman sisters, who are both very, very good scorers. And Joseph Sigrist is the coach, and he was at West Des Moines Valley for their golden years in the CIML. So it is going to be another toughie. They all are at state tournament, and especially in this 4A field, which is just loaded from top to bottom. And they were coming in as we were done, and I was coming to try to get quiet over here in one of the corners of the arena. But I'm not succeeding, I don't think, as you could probably hear the noise and the music in the background. But talked to Tom Lilly briefly. And, well, first of all, I thank Libby Fandel and congratulated her for the 37-point, 25-rebound performance. And I said, I'm not going to tell you to do it again because I don't know if anybody can do that again. And she just kind of laughed about it. Tom Lilly behind her said, I'm asking her to do it again. So I don't know if we'll get that again, but we'll see what Libby can do for an encore today. It should be a high-scoring affair, a lot more than 35-34, I think.
By the way, thank you to Andrew, our producer today. He's running the board, and I'm not going to ask him to talk too much because he just got out of the dentist chair a little while ago. Right, Andrew?
Ooh.
he's nodding his head, yeah. Scott went a little behind the scenes on play-by-play announcers. When you have two players with the same last name on the floor, what do you do?
That's a great question. Well, we just had it with the Frank sisters.
Yeah.
So you say Taylor Frank or you say Courtney Frank. Sometimes you just say the first name. But I think that gets a little bit Homer-ish, but we'll try it. It's you got to differentiate between the two and try to do it to your best ability. And hopefully we do that.
Officials and spectators in a positive manner.
Earlier today, Johnston, West Des Moines, Dowling advancing to the state championship game. We knew it was going to be an all-CIML final, and Johnston wins its 51st straight. I don't know about the history between these two this year.
Well, they played twice, and Johnston won them both, obviously. The second one was a two-point game, though. That was as close as anybody has come to Johnston in-state or out-of-state. So it should be entertaining. It's going to be packed. It's going to be loud. And if you were looking at probably the number one opposition to Libby Fandel winning Miss Iowa basketball, it's probably Ava Zediker. The terrific point guard of Dowling is going to go to Creighton. And Amari Jenkins, too, from Johnston, who's going to Virginia Tech. She was going to Marquette, but then the Marquette coach went to Virginia Tech, and now she switched up and she's going to go to Blacksburg. So those three are going to be in the Final Four, and two of them in the final game tomorrow. So I guess we got to miss basketball off here. To see who's going to do well and do the best. But you can't go wrong with all three of them. Of course, we'd like to see Libby get it. But, you know, she's in the running, that's for sure.
Well, next week we're going to play more KGYM musical chairs on the gym class at the Boys State Tournament. And, Scott, we have four Linn County teams, including three Metro teams. I kind of did a little cursory search. I can't remember four Linn County teams in the same state tournament.
Well, if you did the research, I will trust you. So we've had three Metro teams before.
Yeah.
But like you said, maybe not with North Linn thrown in there as well. So good to have a little history. We'll have a good time next week. And also, just to let the folks know, Dan Jensen is going to join us next Tuesday. And well, I should be back in studio next Tuesday, but really looking forward to talking to Dan.
Thanks for lining that up, and that's a segue into a little bit more about the Iowa Hawkeye women not unexpectedly defeating Wisconsin last night, now Michigan State tonight. And I think it's a little deceiving. Iowa's the number 11, Michigan State number 6. But there was only one game separating the two in the conference standings. Michigan State did win the early meeting in East Lansing, but another step for the Iowa women. Good step last night.
Yeah, it was. Boy, they looked good, too. Got a chance to watch a little bit of that game when we were on the lanes last night. And, they pretty much had their way last night with Wisconsin, which was Wisconsin's not one of the top teams in the Big Ten. But when you got to play somebody back-to-back like that, it's tough, especially when you got to go with, going up against the same scouting report, et cetera, et cetera. So I was impressed with what Iowa did last night. And, yeah, there's not a lot of difference between the, number 6 seed and the number 11 seed because – but one game basically separated it. Had Iowa lost out at all the tiebreakers, or Iowa would be a 7 or 8 seed and probably not even playing Michigan State tonight.
But
if Jan's team could play like they did last night, I think Iowa's primed to move on.
All right, Scott, we're going to bow out with you. We've got a bad connection and apologize to the listeners, but I appreciate you joining us and have a great call on the Xavier game that coming up at 5 o'clock. And I guess we'll talk to you sometime next week, huh?
Probably Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thanks. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Scott Unas from Des Moines checking in with the gym class this morning or this afternoon. Apologize really for the connection. That sometimes happens when you're out and about on Skype and whatnot, but it can be a tad annoying. But thanks for Scott checking in. And more on this Iowa women's game tonight, 319-366-1600. My question is, will the men's game, which starts at 7 o'clock, be quote-unquote over before the women's game starts, which will be close to 8 o'clock? 319-366-1600. Iowa men, final home game of the season, facing Michigan State. The Spartans, a 7.5-point favorite or thereabouts. Iowa fighting for its life to get into the Big Ten Conference Tournament. And what do you expect tonight? What do you expect from the men? What do you expect from the women? What I expect, I don't expect the Iowa men to win. I mean, do you still hold out hope for this team? I mean, the glimmer of hope for the Iowa men's basketball team is probably defeating Nebraska in Lincoln coming up this Sunday. Right now, the tiebreakers look awful for Iowa. Iowa must win another game to even have a chance. It is 1-1. The only tiebreaker among the teams tied with Iowa right now, I'm sorry, right ahead of Iowa right now at 7-12, there's five of them. The only tiebreaker is against Rutgers and possibly against Nebraska, which Iowa defeated at home in overtime in January. 1-1 against Northwestern, 0-1 against USC, 0-1 against Minnesota. Now, Minnesota and Rutgers play this weekend, and that's going to eliminate or knock down one of them. But in addition to that game, Iowa-Nebraska, after tonight, you've got Northwestern at Maryland, Northwestern there at 7-12, USC at UCLA, also at 7-12. Iowa trying to get a seventh win somewhere. Will it be tonight? No, I don't know. Gene and Vinton weighing in. The men get blown out and the women win a close one. I'd go along with that. I think there might be a bit of a revenge factor on the part of the Iowa women tonight after really leading into the fourth quarter at Michigan State and then that lead disappearing in Michigan State coming up with a two-point victory on the road. But once again, I think these two teams are pretty even despite the seedings. Only one game separates them from one another in the conference standings. And Iowa, after last night, has won 10 straight games in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Granted, a lot of those games were with Caitlin Clark, Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall, et al. But this is a team, I think, playing with some confidence. And last night, just dominated in the paint, 42-18 in the paint. And how many times have you seen a team win lopsidedly like Iowa did, 81-54, and didn't make a single free throw? Only attempted one. That's almost unheard of. But nevertheless, Iowa coming away with a 27-point victory. Back to the men. Of course, it is senior night. Peyton Sanford going to take a bow tonight after he had a really difficult news conference this week about some of the slings and arrows allegedly thrown his way during this difficult season. Riley Mulvey going to be part of that group, although he has another year remaining. I think I might have missed the fact that he's going to forego that. But nevertheless, it'll be senior night. Whether that'll propel Iowa at all remains to be seen. Matt in Fairfax, it pains me to say, but maybe best to put them out of their misery. Go for the feel-good win against Nebraska. Greg and Epworth weighing in. Michigan State isn't really a blowout team. Their games are usually close until the fourth quarter. They've lost three games in the league. Currently have won five in a row. Michigan State stumbled on the road on its West Coast trip, losing to both USC and UCLA, and then kind of inexplicably lost a game at home to Indiana. Those are the only three losses in the league. Again, Michigan State has won five in a row, four of them against ranked teams, and the other one against Illinois. That's very impressive. Greg adding their depth and offensive rebounding will be too much for Iowa. I think that's probably accurate. I'm surprised the spread is only 7 points anyway. But tonight, Iowa, Michigan State night, times two. Is this men's game going to be over before the women's game starts? Which one are you watching? That's after listening to Iowa State and Arizona State in the women's Big 12 tournament. That coming up at 5:30 following Spencer on sports. I'm glad to see Spencer Wagon back from a little bit of under the weather. But talk to Spencer. He's doing well. He'll be with you at 4 o'clock. But Iowa State, Arizona State tonight on KGYM, 5:30 for the women. Maybe you're not going to watch either men or women. I have a feeling people will watch the women. The women are the thing right now for the Iowa fan base. Iowa men, not so much. We're going to do an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard right now, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway out on First Avenue East. Great classic American restaurant, open Monday through Saturday at 4 o'clock. And I encourage you to stop in for drinks, food, great staff. You'll enjoy it. On the scoreboard today, Kelly Cry of Iowa City High will be one of the inductees into the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union Basketball Hall of Fame on Saturday. Cry led the Little Hawks to a state title in 2008 and was a three-year starter at Iowa. The Chargers have released all-pro defensive end Joey Bosa in a cost-cutting move. Bosa has been injured often the past three seasons. Oregon has given football coach Dan Lanning a new contract. It is valued at $11 million per year and runs through the 2030 season. And finally, the National Collegiate Women's Wrestling Tournament gets underway tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Top-ranked and defending champion Iowa will have 15 wrestlers competing. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to visit with Mark Ironside. The Big Ten Men's Wrestling Tournament gets underway tomorrow in Evanston. We'll be right back.
From 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have clouds building in as we head through the afternoon and evening. Temperatures will climb into the 40s and then slowly drop tonight. As precipitation moves in, mainly after 9 p.m., it'll start as rain, changing over to snow as we head through the night and into Friday morning. That'll create some slick and slushy streets for the morning drive. We'll then have that rain and snow mix back for the afternoon as precipitation slides down to the south and east and will dry out for the weekend. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. And if you need food on the go, whether to take home to the family, the neighborhood Quick Star is your place to go. It is your ultimate destination for savory meals and appetizers that hit just right, including cheese curds, many tacos, stuffed spuds, mozzarella sticks, or for the family, roasted whole chicken on special for $6.99 every Monday, soup bags on special, 36 to 40 ounce, $6.99, that is every Tuesday. And they got some great specials going on right now at the Neighborhood Quick Star, including Nature's Touch Milk, skim 1%, 2%, 1 gallon, $2.99, limit 3, and Don's Pizzas. Assorted varieties, 4 for $10 or $3.99 each, limit 4. And don't forget to use your Quick Rewards app. Stop on by your Neighborhood Quick Star.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Join me, 1600 ESPN's Todd Brawlkamp, broadcasting live Saturday from 10 to 1 during the grand opening sale at Pinnacle Spas in Cedar Rapids, just off 380 at the Blair's Ferry Road exit.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cashback app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway?
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now, and there's a gas station at the next exit offering 25 cents per gallon cash back.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code GO to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code GO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code GO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Welcome back to the gym class. Mark Dukes along with Andrew, our producer today, 326 in Southwest Cedar Rapids Studios. Right now, Mark Ironside joining us. I get excited about this. I know Mark does too when he sits to his right. When I sit to his right, always.
I'm but, always happy when I walk in and I see Dukes in the studio. That makes me happy, man.
What, you had a razors today or what?
I know. I'll shave this weekend for the tournament. They give me a break. I hate shaving. I hate it.
I do, too. I really do, too.
I just hate it. And I'm not lazy. I don't like to do it. But it's also, though, once it gets about like this, like over like a week or so, then it gets really itchy, and I don't like it. So I usually once a week is about my max. But I've been holding out because I don't want to shave yesterday and then have to shave again Saturday. So it's an in-betweener.
Mark's appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, American Family Insurance Agent over on Johnson Avenue. Southwest, and this is what we've been waiting for, Mark, postseason.
It is.
And gets underway at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. You're going to get up bright and early and head over there. And
no, not Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, I'm sorry.
Women's is tomorrow morning.
I got a little bit confused. Yeah. But the fight for number one is
I wouldn't really say there's a fight.
One. There is
okay?
a one.
I wouldn't really say there's a fight at this point.
What do you think about the lineup Tom Brands is going to put out, and Iowa's chances of bettering last year's fourth-place finish?
Well, I would hope that we can better last year's fourth-place finish. If we don't, it's going to be a really, really, really rough couple of days at Welsh Ryan Arena for the Hawkeyes if we can't better than that. I mean, if we get anything less than second, it's been a rough weekend. And we're not no shoe-in second like Penn State is first either. I mean, Nebraska's, I mean, they're tough. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some teams out there. Ohio State, you know, even though we whipped up on them, I mean, they get hot. We have a couple things go against us. I mean, it could shake things up a little bit. But we're definitely the front runner for second. But as much as you hate to say that and swallow that when you say it, Penn State, you know, I mean, they're just in their league of their own. It is what it is. So we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of business to take care of. And if you look at it on paper, we're basically supposed to take nine guys to the tournament.
Right.
By where our seeds are and by how many qualifiers per weight, with the lone guy being left out at 141, Colin Shriver. Now, with that being said, Cruz might not get in at 25. But Schriever could possibly get into 41. We don't know. Or we could lose them both. Or, I mean, it's the Big Ten. It's the postseason. Stranger things could happen. Going back to your question about do I agree with the lineup Tom Brands is putting out there, yes. I 100% agree with putting Gabe Arnold out and not Angelo Ferrari out, for sure. Save the red shirt. You know, I mean, let him go in there after Starace's gone out of there and let him, you know, fight for possible 4 national titles, which would be a huge feat and Hawkeye's never done before. And even if Ferrari would go in there and knock off Starace and win a national title, I mean, the chance of that happening, I mean, we look on paper, probably not very good. But even if he does that, I mean, we still don't – that's not the difference between first and second in the team race.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just really smart to hold him back, let him continue to just keep that red shirt, wrestle Gabe Arnold. And then the other thing about Nelson and Patrick is they did not have a wrestle-off. Did not have a wrestle-off. From what I hear, Nelson got hurt, actually, his other knee – his good knee got hurt during the Okie State match and just can't go. And so they just didn't even have a wrestle off. So unfortunate for Nelson, too. You know, he's been injured all year, banged up all year. He comes back for, a 7th year now. And that's just when you get that old and it's that sport, that's the stuff that happens. And just it's hard and it's unfortunate that when you fight injuries like that, you know, I mean, we've seen it happen time and time again with these guys with the COVID years and stuff. I mean, Michael Kremer was another guy. So, but anyway, yeah, I think that's the best lineup that we can have. I think it's a smart lineup. I think it's a good lineup. I mean, even, you know, between Ferrari and Arnold, it's not like Arnold, we're throwing out there somebody that's not any good or, you know, we're going to be lucky if we even qualify there type of thing or whatever, you know, I mean. And it's good for Arnold, too. And what's going to happen next year, I don't know. I mean, my guess is Arnold's going to go down to 74 and compete with Patrick Kennedy at 74 would be my guess. So, and there's a lot of speculation whether he can or cannot make 74. I personally don't think he'll have any problem at all whatsoever making 74.
We're going to bring our usual producer, Isaac, into the mix here. He's texted a couple, 3 questions for you. But first of all, I want to make the point that I don't have to tell you how difficult a Big Ten wrestling tournament is, but looking through the seating sheet, there are multiple champions coming back. 7 of them are not seeded number one this year. 7 champions from last year are not seeded number one. Now, 3 of them are at a different weight, but 7 former champions are not seeded number one in this tournament.
Well, you didn't have Gable Stevenson in the lineup last year for Minnesota.
Right.
So there's Kirkley, who is not returning as the number one seed. So that makes a difference. But, I mean, there's reasons for a lot of that, you know. I was surprised Kasich from Penn State at 157 is not the number one seed. Miller from Maryland is. I don't know if they've wrestled this year. I can't imagine if they have that Miller beat Kasich, but maybe, I don't know, but maybe they didn't wrestle, and I don't know. But it is what it is. All I know is it makes for a great tournament, and I love the Big Ten Championship Tournament. First round now with all these schools in it can kind of be watered down. Everything kind of goes as planned or whatever. But after that, things get really interesting really quick, and there's a lot of great matchups. So Welsh Ryan Arena is going to be kicking for sure.
One of Isaac's questions is, Iowa's never had a Big Ten champion at 197 since the weight was introduced in 1999. Is this the year it happens?
How do you know that, Isaac? Like, seriously, like,
that's why we have him.
Who sits around and figures, oh, I've never had a champ at 97? It's like, I don't know, that's news to me, but yeah, I mean, if we don't have a champ at 97 this year out of Stephen Buchanan, then something's really gone wrong there. I think Stephen Buchanan is – I wish we had 10 guys on the team like Stephen Buchanan, not just on the mat but off the mat as well too. You know, I mean, he's clutch for us. He's come through for us a couple of times this year in big moments and dual meets, and he's just – you know, he's just ice-cold veins. He's just calm, cool, collective. He's aggressive. He looks for bonus points. He gets them when he needs them, and even when he doesn't need them. So – I look forward to watching him win a Big Ten title, and I'm really happy for him because I think he's extremely happy at the University of Iowa. He's ending his career here, and winning a Big Ten title is, I mean, that's the toughest conference in the country, hands down, easily, in the entire country. So this is a big feat for him, and to capture a Big Ten championship title and to be wrestling for it on live TV. And so I'm excited for Steven, but he's got to finish the job and go get that national title as well.
He is Hall of Famer Mark Ironside talking wrestling today here on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Mark Ironside, mano a mano. Isaac would also like to know about Colin Shriver. Does he have a chance at 141 where only 7 bids are up for grabs?
You know, I kind of alluded to that earlier. You know, Cruz might not make it in. And, you know, I mean, he's penciled that he should make it in. He's the 5 seed, and they're taking 9 there, but... Shriver being the 11th seed and only taking 7, he could get in. I mean, he's good enough to do it. He's had a lot of close matches this year that he's just fallen a little bit short. The thing about a guy like Shriver is, even though he's 11th seed, if you're the, you know, 6, 7, 8 type seed or whatever, he's not the guy that you want to wrestle to get into the tournament. I mean, he is right there on the bubble. So it's going to be interesting to see. So to answer Isaac's question, on paper, no, he's not expected to get in by 3 or 4 people. But at the same time, I'm not going to be shocked if he did either, because he's definitely good enough. And as long as he can put together for these 2 days, that's what matters.
Finally, Isaac, pointing out the fact that there's 4 members of Iowa's team that have never wrestled in a Big Ten tournament. Well, what are they going to be faced? I'm sure Tom Brands is talked about the expectations and all that. Is it a big deal?
It's a big deal. Absolutely, yeah. It's a big deal. It's an exciting opportunity for these guys. That's one reason you come to Iowa is, you know, you want to say it's about money, which it is, but at the same time, something that, you know, brings recruits out of high school to Iowa. Same thing that brings in guys from the portal. It's the Big Ten. It's the Big Ten Conference, the toughest conference in the country, and the one with the most exposure, and the one that's up on the highest level, you know, for you know, media and everything else. I mean, this is the real deal. This is as good as it gets in the collegiate sport of wrestling. So I think these guys are going to be super excited and pumped and ready to go at the Big Ten Championship. It's going to be something like, it's awesome for them because they've never been to a conference tournament, participated in a conference tournament that's going to have the participation and the following like what this has. This is going to be almost like a national, mini national tournament to them. And when you put yourself in that type of an atmosphere and on that type of a stage, that brings out the best in most people. I think it will in our guys. And I think they're ready for that and they're excited for that.
Back to the text line is, does Caliendo close the gap or can he close the gap with Messenbrink, or is Messenbrink just on a different level?
Well, Caliendo,
he's wrestled well since the last match.
100%. He's wrestled really, really well since that last, since he wrestled him at Penn State. And can he close the gap? Yes, he can close the gap. Will he close the gap and, like, beat him? I don't see that happening. I think it would be a victory for him if he could just keep it within, honestly, a major decision and not nothing more. Messenbrink's just that good. And I think also, too, is Messenbrink's into Caliendo's head, too. And the one thing that, when I got off the bus and we were out at State College and I got the bus after the dual meet that night, and I told him, I said, hey, you know, you finished that shot. He was in deep on Caliendo right away. Deep, like as deep as you can get and not finish. In great position. And it's like, man, you finished that shot. And that's like, you take him down. Nobody's taking him down all year. I mean, that could be a different match. And he's like, you know, I thought once I got in, I could take him down easy. And I was wrong, you know, which obviously you're not going to take Messenbrink down easily, you know. But I think with him being in there that deep, I think it got to his head a little bit. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't even take him down. And I was in that deep. And I think it really messed with his mental state. And that's why after that moment in that match, Caliendo just kind of threw the towel and he just wasn't the same wrestler, and Messenbrink just kind of had his way with him. I think if Caliendo can go out and wrestle for a full 7 minutes like Caliendo can and stay, because he's in great shape, stay with him, he'd be fine. But Caliendo's biggest enemy right now is Caliendo. and getting mess and break out of his head. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter who you're wrestling. You're going to go out and you're going to make it an all-out war. You're going to stay in position. You're going to stay the course. And it's just a matter of Caliendo can do that or not. And that's what's going to be interesting to see. I would love to be able to see him keep it within a major decision, like maybe a 10-point victory. But the other thing is, it's tough. I mean, near fall points and takedowns are worth a lot more now. I mean, it's hard not to get majored against a guy like Messenbrink when you're getting all these extra points for takedowns and tech falls. And that's why I keep saying, like, you know what? If we're going to have extra points, bonus points if we're going to have extra points for near falls and takedowns, why are we not widening the gap of what a major decision is? Instead of being 8 points, make it 10 or 12 points, or a tech fall, make it at 20 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's only fair.
That's a good point.
Now we're getting to these major decisions and techs way too quick and easy.
That's a good point.
So I don't know. I mean, that's why, I guess, why I'm saying it's going to be really hard for Caliendo to keep it within a major just because of, you know, the rules. If it was the old rules, I'd feel a lot better about it, but not so much right now with the new scoring system.
So many things we can ask about the various weights. I want to ask about Drake Ayala, whether he can live up to the number one seed. He's got Shaver, who won it last year at 133, Braden Davis, who won it at 125, Lucas Byrd. He's going to have to wrestle well.
Yeah, for sure he's going to have to wrestle well. And then the thing is this is old cliche. You know, you hear it all the time, but you take it one match at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's it's just honest. I mean, it doesn't matter who he has first round, second round, third round, fourth round, the finals. You just take it one match at a time. He's the number one seed for a reason. But he's also shown glimpses and phases this year where he doesn't wrestle well, especially later in a match. If it's a close match, he stops wrestling. But at the same time, the last match that he had, against Okie State, he didn't stop wrestling. He went and got the major. If he can compete like at the Big Tens, like he competed against Okie State, he'll be fine. If he goes out and he competes like he did against who do we wrestle first? Stanford, I think, and he got beat, you know, early in the year, and a couple other people on the way. It's anybody's ballgame, you know, at 125. There's five people in that weight class right there that could win that Big Ten championship, you know, and it's just a matter of whether Drake Ayala, when he toes the line, if he's the man right then and there. If I'm going to be the man right now, or am I going to just kind of keep this match close and kind of let the best man win at the end? And you can't compete like that. You got to go get more all the time. And that's what allowed him, and it was a fun match for him against Okie State. It's just that's the way he competed.
Is there a match, Isaac, like to know, is there a match not involving an Iowa wrestler that you really want to see, aside from maybe Stevenson and Kirkfleet?
Well, I was just gonna say Stevenson and Kirkfleet will be a big one. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I want to see Miller and Kasich. You know, I mean, I'd like to see Teamer in there as well too. But at the same time, if Teamer doesn't for some reason make it there, because he's gonna have to go through Miller of Maryland. You know, I'd love to be able to see a Teamer and Kasich final again, which would be really exciting. But if he doesn't make it, I'd like to see why this Kasich is seated behind Miller. I don't know. I mean, at 25 is going to be some great, great matches. I don't know. It'll be fun. I mean, Bartlett and Mendez in the finals, that's going to be a barn burner. That's, I think, a repeat of the national finals from last year. So, and Bartlett handled him pretty well, though, during the dual meet this last year. So, I don't know. We'll see. So,
let's go to the top of the weight classes. And Ben Keeter seated seventh. And we know how tough it is at the top of that weight class. What do you reckon? 10 NCAA qualifiers based on his seating should get to the NCAA tournament. What are your thoughts?
I think Keeter's got his work cut out for him. I mean, they take the top 10, and you want to make sure you get in that top 10 to qualify automatically. But that's no easy road to hoe by any means. I mean, he's going to have to work his tail off to get there. I mean, he could be higher than 7th if he wrestles well. I mean, and he could. I mean, he got beat by Luffman of Illinois during the season, but he beat Feldman of the number 4 seed of Ohio State. So, I don't know. It's and he beat Nevels, which Nevels is the 9 seed, but I don't know. It just depends. Same thing. You know, is Keter going to show up and wrestle? Is he going to hit shots? Is he going to hit angles? You know, is he going to hit the knee below? Is he going to be offensive? Or is he going to be like what he was against Okie Steak and Hendrickson and just go out and your feet are literally planted in cement? It doesn't matter who you're wrestling. You're going to get taken down left and right. I mean, it's just a matter of – I'm just hoping that it's a fun weekend where these guys, when they toe the line, every single match, whether it's first round or for third or fifth or first or wherever you're at, no matter where it's at in the tournament, this is the postseason. You have to be ready, ready to go every time you step foot on the mat. And if you're not, your season might be over or you're really, really making it hard on yourself, you know, come Philadelphia and really lowering your seat at the national championship. So every match counts. And the other thing is, too, is don't just go out. I mean, it's kind of cliche, too. I mean, everybody says, well, you go out and you take care of business, wrestle, you know, your job or whatever. But at the same time, you know, I used to think about the team in this situation, you know. I mean, we got a team title, team race here too. So I want to go out and score as many points as I can, not just for me, but also for the team. Every bonus point counts, you know? So there's another motivator for you. And I don't know. We'll just see how we compete. I'm just hoping that this is the, you know, the next best thing compared to the Nationals. We're almost at 0 hour, and this is an important couple of days coming up.
Any concerns about teamers' conditioning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, he has not had that many matches this year. When he does have a lot of when he does wrestle a full 7 minutes, he doesn't wrestle it very hard. He just wrestles bits and pieces and explosiveness. But that's who he is, you know? I mean, he's not just a go-getter just from first whistle to the last. You know, that's not him. And that's not how he wrestles. So love it or hate it, that's who Ja'Cory Teamer is. So, but yeah, I think if it comes down,
he could be big though.
Huh?
He could be big.
Yeah, for sure.
This team.
For sure. And I think he's a gamer too. I really do. But sometimes I think he just thinks that he's going to be able to make it happen when he needs to and doesn't really have to work that hard. Whereas it's come back to bite him in the butt a couple times this year. And I think this is the time of year to where hopefully he's learned and in his mind just knows, hey, it's go time. I need to get after it a little bit more. And it's time to, you know, crank up the heat and show him who Ja'Cory Teamer really, really is. And no better time than right now.
I wanted to ask you a couple other subjects, Mark. Since we last talked to you, the Flow Wrestling Night in America happened.
Yep.
What was your impressions, not only of Spencer Lee, but the whole event?
I think it was a great event. I really enjoyed it. I was able to, you know, go down there and watch and got lucky and snagged a front row ticket. And right by the stage, I know that
got lucky.
Josh Schomburger, the Iowa City Area Sports Commission, you know, you know, they put on a great event, and so did Flo. And it was great. It was great for our fans. It was great for freestyle. It was good for all the guys that competed. And, man, Lord, it was a great payout for them as well, too. Very entertaining. Hawkeyes did not fare very well. DeSanto getting teched by Seth Gross. DeSanto has to stop wrestling on his knees against a guy like Gross. That's where Gross lives to wrestle, is on his knees, and we're going to wrestling him on his knees. We should never, ever, ever, ever hit our knees against a guy like Seth Gross. We just shouldn't. And we're there the whole match, and that's why we get teched. And, you know, Spencer Lee, that's a tough match. And it's just unfortunate that you got a winner and a loser, and there wasn't a single takedown in the whole match. It just, that's the stupid rules for you. Just dumb rules. I hate the push-out rule. I hate it. I've never liked it from the get-go. Spencer's in on, you know, a beautiful shot. Just pure 100% good scramble wrestling. Steps out of bounds. In no shape or form is it stalling, is it fleeing a hold or anything. He just stepped out trying to finish a beautiful shot, and we get dinged for a point. It's just the dumbest rule ever. But then at the same time, we got a couple calls to go our way in the second half that probably wouldn't have happened if Tom wouldn't have gotten pissed off like he did, which I'm glad Tom did and got on the referee at the break because the referee needed that. But that helped, and normally I don't think Spencer would have gotten those points. So Spencer was giving up some size, but Ono looked good, just solid. There was no getting to through his hands and arms, legs, head, defense at all. I mean, Ono was solid, and Spencer just could not penetrate and get to him and ended up losing the match. But it was a great event overall.
David Carr. David Carr might have been the highlight.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. Yeah. He looked really, really good. Really good.
This follows. I had a note on this, but a texter brought it up too about we lost a great referee.
Yes,
and
Mike Allen.
I wanted to ask you about him. I'm sure you probably on the mat a time or two, and with him as an official.
Yeah, he called a lot of my matches, and he always liked telling the story. Like I'd seen him at like golf outings and stuff like that, where we're both like, you know, I don't know, where they pay, you know, teams pay to get in there and golf with like a celebrity within the sport and whatever, you know. And I'd see him at different places. And he always enjoyed telling people the story to where when I came on the scene in Iowa and he was refereeing, he credited me for him getting into shape. Because every time that we'd go out of bounds, I would just naturally just sprint back to the center, and he'd be like, where'd he go? Like, where are we at? So if I'm sprinting back to the center, he's got to hurry up and get back to the center. So after a couple of my matches, he's like, he was like getting tired, like just trying to ref the match. So he's like, he always would credit me for him getting in shape because it pushed him to where he started working out just so he could ref my matches and not have to slow the pace down because he's like walking back to the center too. But just a fantastic referee. There's a really good picture from the Unidome when Nationals were there my junior year, and I don't even remember what round it was, first or second round, I think, where he was the ref, and I ended up getting a fall, and I got my hand raised, and it's a nice picture, and I really like having that picture with him. He was just always just a great referee. He called stalling. He made guys hustle, and he was a really good ref, too, at making calls, too, but he just kept the pace going. He was my type of ref, and I just really, really enjoyed it, and he was really good at not just refereeing, but just overseeing all the referees as well, too. And then, you know, he was a principal and athletic director. He was huge in his community, just a good all-around person. And the passion and the love for the sport that he brought was just, it was awesome. It was great to see.
Every time I watched him, I don't think a coach ever had a complaint.
No, they really, really didn't, you know. And he was just a great person, a great ref, and he was a good role model for all the kids up there at Waterloo East as well. And he was a big, I don't know if you ever seen him off the mat, but, or like when he was like in the head of the referees and stuff, but he was a big time, like the way he dressed. I mean, he'd be wearing a bright orange suit from freak. It looked like Dumb and Dumber, you know? I mean, you'd walk in, you knew where Mike Allen was at. And I remember when my daughters would go to the wrestling meets at Carver, and that was his job, and they'd always text me, like, because they would knew that was Mike Allen, because, like, hey, did you see Mike, what he's wearing today? Like, purple from head to toe, you know, or orange. You just never knew. And I always like to go into his closet and open it up and just see all these different colors of suits and stuff.
I want to get one or two more texts in here. Time is short, but 2235 wanted to know why Bo Nickel was at Flow Wrestling.
Ono trains at Penn State, you know. Ono trains out there in the Penn State room, which is that's where Bo's at, and trains as well too, and is good friends with those guys. And I think it was just good for the sport and the promotion to see Bo Nickel there. And Bo Nickel doesn't stray too far away from Penn State or the sport of wrestling. So it just worked out really good that he was there, and he was there representing Ono and coaching him. So Penn State, they brought their own good staff there as well too. Cody Sanderson was there as well too. You didn't see him in the corner, but he was there. So
second or bust this weekend?
Yeah, pretty much second, no bust.
All right, Mark, thanks for stopping in. Safe travels to Evanston. We'll look forward to the NCAA tournament after the competition this weekend. Thanks,
yeah,
Ben.
We'll have a lot to talk about next week. And then also, too, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the women's tournament coming up, starting tomorrow. it's Iowa City. It's the core of WrestleTown USA. I was down there today setting up the booth with Stacy, getting ready to go. It's going to be a great tournament down there to the Extreme Arena. If you are in town, you haven't bought a ticket, or you haven't decided whether you're going to go or not, I would highly, highly recommend getting to Extreme Arena tomorrow at 10 a.m. or Saturday, if you got to work tomorrow, obviously. But Saturday, going down and making a day of it. You got all the restaurants around there. The women's wrestling program is going for their second national title in a row, and they're no shoo-in by any means. But they have a phenomenal team, a great team. And to have the opportunity to have this right in your own backyard, take advantage of this, for sure. Take advantage of it. And it's on Flow as well, too. But to see it in person, to see these girls compete in person, it's way better in person just to be in that environment. And there's not a bad seat in the house. It's all general admission. So first come, first serve where you sit. And then the other thing is, too, is you can get up and you can move. Like if you got an Iowa girls on mat on the other end, on mat number two, go down by mat number two and sit by mat number two. If the girls on the other end by mat number six, go down on the mat number six. I mean, you can move, and it's just the arena is just built for wrestling. It's a great arena, great event, and we don't know what's going to happen next year because it got sanctioned by the NCAA, so I don't know if they're going to put it back in the Extreme Arena or they're going to move it somewhere a long ways away and they'll never get to go. So basically what I'm saying is this is your chance. If you are a local person and you're listening, you want to see a national title by the women's program, get your butt down there this weekend and watch it in person because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. This might be your chance.
15 Iowa women going for a national title.
Yep.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep, thank
you,
guys.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, we're going to take our final break, come back, wrap things up here on the Gym Class.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Hey, it's 1600 ESPN's Todd Brawlkamp, and I'll be broadcasting live Wednesday during the Spring Golf Club Drive with the Give Foundation at Zio Giano's in Marion. Swing by and donate golf clubs for veterans while I'm there. When you do, Zio Giano's will give you a $10 gift certificate. The Give Foundation provides the gift of golf to injured and disabled veterans, and Zio Giano's is proud to offer their support. Donate your old clubs to the Give Foundation Wednesday from noon to 3 at Zio Giano's on 7th Avenue in Marion.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. A lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Don't have official recap of last night, but I can tell you the Rusty Nails knocked off the number one team by a score of 19-11. Scott Unash in the lineup with a fine series, but we'll do her again next week. And thanks to May City Bowl for sponsoring Bowling Night in America today and each Wednesday during the season. Spencer on sports coming up. Spencer Wagon back in the saddle. He'll be with you from 4 to 5:30. Leading up to Iowa State, Arizona State women's basketball again at 5:30. We'll be back Monday, actually, not tomorrow, but Monday here on the Gym Class.
Empower. Jen has ordered a decadent seafood tower, king crab legs, lobster tails, and a waterfall of caviar. Pricey? You bet. But Jen worked with Empower on her savings and investment strategy and planned for splurges like these. She got good at money, so she can be a little bad. Ooh, champagne. Empower. Invest well. Live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
Past performance is not indicative of future returns. Investing involves risk. You may lose money.